When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Our guys, this team now is to this rivalry, and you know, it's another NFC North opponent, and I don't think you can ever look past that. And we always talk about the North and trying to own our division, and you know, right now we're 0-2 versus the division, so it's a big time game.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, talking about where his team sits at this point. They are 6-3, but they've lost to both Detroit and to Minnesota in their division play. So they're going to need to win this game as much as the Bears.
It's a big one for them, too.
Right.
They're 6-3, but they're 0-2 in the NFC North.
And they're coming off the bye week, and he did the same thing a year ago when they came off the bye week. They were, I believe, 3-6 when they had the bye a year ago. And they came back and fueled their playoff run by having their starters face off during the week in practice. So they come back from their bye week, and they get the extra day, and they've had starters on starters. They've had their defense and all of its ability to get the turnover, Jeff Hafley's group, against the starting offense. And they've done that. They felt that it fueled them last year, and they wanted to do it again this year. So they're kind of, even though they've had the week off, they tried to address some things. And I think, David, you know, the Bears have been winless and useless since their bye week. They had their bye week.
Both.
And they didn't get
it's
anything
a good way to put
done,
it.
Right?
Useless and winless, or winless and useless.
Yes.
They've been pretty much...
They've been awful.
Everything's been pointless since. And they have been touchdownless.
Now I've got ennui.
But it's a good point to remember that as big of a game as this is for the Bears, it's not as if the Packers can afford to lose it or they will be taking it lightly. They're not looking past the Bears, and nobody should expect, because the Bears come in on a three-game losing streak, the Packers are going to say, well, we're going to take for granted, we're going to win another game in a series, we're dominating. They will be ready, and they will be prepared mentally, physically, and otherwise. And I think that is, you know, bad news for the Bears, because you would like to see them maybe looking ahead a little bit or whatever. But they can't afford to lose this game, because, as you point out, two losses in the division that they want to still win, and they still can win. I think the Lions are going to be difficult to beat, but if you're playing for second place, they still can finish ahead of the Vikings, and that's why this game matters as much as it does to the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I think the Lions are going to win the division.
Yeah.
But
Lions are going to win the NFC.
Yeah, I
right
think
now.
That looks that way right now. But there's twists and turns. I mean, we're only at the midway point of the season, just over, actually.
I just can't believe how impressive the Green Bay Packers are. Like, I know it's the Packers and the Bears, and to compliment the team and the rivalries is bad form, or people cringe when they hear it. But when you look at historically, we talked about it early in the week, how good Matt LaFleur has done in this series and the kind of start he's off to as a head coach. I know a lot of it is Aaron Rodgers, but Mully, Ditka, LaFleur, Bud Grant, Mike McCarthy, those are the four winningest coaches in the NFC North in terms of winning percentage. That's good company to keep. He's won 10 in a row in this series. He's never lost to the Bears. And he comes in Sunday. We talk about his play calling prowess. This is a power football team. This is a team that's going to run it down your throats and like it. And so I think there's so many different ways they can beat you. That to me is impressive, because you think of the Packers as being this fancy finesse team with a good quarterback and all the receivers, but they have Josh Jacobs and he's a problem.
You know, what's funny is you think about Aaron Rodgers when he was there, and he didn't seem to really like the flower, didn't seem to get along with him very much. And don't you wonder? I mean, they brought in Robert Saleh as a
consultant.
And I would imagine, though, two guys are great friends, right? Saleh, I believe, was his
They shoveled
best
snow together
man,
in Brian and, Kelly's driveway.
Yeah, yeah. But I wonder if they sit down over a beer and talk about like
what a jerk Aaron Rodgers is. Well, you know, this one time, this one meeting, you wouldn't believe it. He said to me,
"Yeah, that's nothing." Don't you think that?
Don't you hate the way he rolls his eyes when you talk to him?
Isn't that a shared experience as well?
I think so.
For a couple of guys that have known each other, as you
I think
say.
It's got to be. Yeah, they know now. They now can compare Aaron Rodgers' dismissiveness and Brian Kelly's.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's more arrogant? Well, I don't know.
So they were at Cincinnati with Brian Kelly. Is that it?
No, they were at Central Michigan. They were Central Michigan, and as the story goes, yes, that's before he went Cajun. and he was still a relatively unknown head coach, and those two guys were on his staff, and they were invited to the staff Christmas party, and they thought that it was a great thing. They haven't arrived. They're going to the party. They got there, and they were shoveling snow off the driveway and letting people in and out and parking cars, essentially, because they were graduate assistants, as the story goes. It's a funny story.
I know, but I mean, how big a Christmas party can Brian Kelly have at Central Michigan, right?
Why?
I'm just wondering. Why must you
diss the Mac?
Michigan? How am I dissing the Mac? I'm dissing Brian Kelly.
Small town, small time, small mid-major conference. Yeah.
Where is Central Michigan?
Mount Pleasant. Mount Pleasant. They're the Chippewas.
That explains everything. Mount not so pleasant.
I've had some long days in Mount Pleasant. I know. I remember it well. But yeah, Central Michigan is right in smack dab middle of Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Long way to get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a
fun story.
Yeah.
It's a good shared experience. A couple of guys, young coaches, and they, well, you know, wound up with pretty good careers. Robert Saleh was very good when he was with Shanahan.
Don't you wonder what his role is?
I don't think he really has a role. I think Jeff Hafley has been brought in and is a young coach who's doing a real good job with the defense. I think it's more professional friend type thing.
I look at the Packers with admiration only because of the way that they are winning. Mm-hmm. And I like the way that defensively they have created their own luck by creating these takeaways. That's what good defenses do. They come at you, they attack the quarterback, and they take advantage of balls when they're thrown your way, and they catch him, Xavier McKinney. He leads the NFL in picks with 6, and I think this is a good defense that's become more aggressive with Hafley, and that's an indicator of what you can expect on Sunday. Likewise, we talk all the time in Chicago, you got to establish the run. Bigsy said it again this morning. You got to establish the run. You know what the Packers do? They established the run.
Yeah.
They've got a fancy play caller, one of the best. They've got Jordan Love with his arm talent, and they still lean on the run. Mully, 1,393 rushing yards. That's what the Packers have through 9 games. Wow. It's the most they have had through 9 games since 2003.
Wow.
This is a team dedicated to establishing the run. They've had 2 games where they've had more than 175 or more rushing yards without a sack. That's protecting the passer. This is an efficient team, and as much as we want to say, and all the jokes are great, and they are the Packers in Chicago, you've got to respect the way they play.
It's a great organization, and believe it or not, coaches love being in Green Bay because there aren't a lot of distractions. There's just football. You know, when I think of a coaching staff, I think of like John Gruden trying to ride his bike to work in 4 feet of snow. You know, I mean, he was famously always rode his bicycle. Didn't matter how bad things got, but that's the kind of thing that has gone on forever up there, dating back to Holmgren and you know, some of those great staffs that they had, and Andy Reid worked there, and all the
Steve Mariucci,
all those guys. I think for years we wondered if, you know, in Chicago you could ever the field's bad and it gets cold, and it doesn't matter. You don't need a dome to be able to throw the football. They managed to do it up there, and they managed to produce professional offense. And it's kind of a drag that you can go from from Favre to Rodgers and now Love, and meanwhile the Bears are busy screwing up their own.
The Bears got their franchise quarterback, so we said, and now they're midway through his first season, and they are trying hard to change that arc.
And they're trying hard to change coordinators.
Let me ask you this. So as we get ready for Bears-Packers, and we all picked the Packers, naturally. Do the Bears have an advantage? If they do, where? What is the advantage that they would cling to or point to, say, well, we can win this game? We talked about the path and what they need to do with Caleb Williams, but when you match up, do they have an advantage at any matchup point? I don't know if they actually do.
They have the advantage of surprise. I don't think anyone expects them to win.
Well, the element of surprise does matter.
Yes.
I think they have a better kicker.
They have a better punter.
Probably a better punter.
The punter had a bad game, by the way, last week.
Yeah, he had a 19-yard punt.
Well, you know why?
Why?
Because all of the wretched horribleness around him is finally
Why must you make excuses for your punter?
He doesn't need my help.
You just got it.
He's got a golden leg.
I thought you were going to tell me because of the wind. Thank you, Jed Hoyer.
No,
the wind does blow in Chicago.
Yeah, it's not the wind.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with the wind. It has to do with, you know, just when you're part of a losing program, it can impact you.
Too much Bears stink on him now?
They have succeeded in ruining the one perfect element they had.
Is he better at his job than anybody else on the Bears?
I would have said that before last week, but I don't know. Now that I see him, he seems suddenly mortal. The kryptonite that is the Chicago
Bears. Jalen
Johnson's
pretty darn good at his job.
Jalen Johnson is a very good player. I would have said to you, if we were talking, I would think that Montez Sweat was the best player on the Bears.
I'm going to say something that's going to sound really silly, but I'm disappointed in his season.
It's not silly. I'm not arguing.
I don't want to say that I'm questioning anything about him except for I've been disappointed in his season.
Well, I mean, you're right to be. It's fair. I think though that he has been injured most of his season. I think that there have been little ticky-tack things and little bad elements that have
happened. He got spiked, right?
He didn't just get spiked. He missed a game. They called it a puncture in his shin.
Puncture wound.
I don't know how you get a puncture in your shin. And I've had my shins. Basically, people have come at me with carpenter planes. That's how my shins
are. How did you avoid getting your shin punctured when you were a soccer player?
Well, you wore shin guards. Everyone wore shin guards. But I had some bad shin injuries over the years, even with shin guards on. Because things happen. Funny things happen with. When you're getting down on the ground and people are stomping and twisting and et cetera. No.
We digress. So
no, but I do. I'm dead serious. I think you can have bad injuries like that.
So,
weird injuries. I don't know how you get it playing football. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how we missed a game. But they're describing it now as an ankle, right? It's not a shin. It's an ankle.
Well, it seems like it could be related.
Yeah. I don't know what his problem is what I'm saying. But the very fact that he's struggling, and how many weeks has he practiced full time? Right?
I don't think many at all.
And I also thought they would get him more help.
Daryl Taylor is a guy that's been on the injured list a lot. We look at the injury report every week.
Daryl Taylor's supposedly coming back this week.
Well, Daryl Taylor's somebody they need because he needs to take the pressure off. Austin Booker has flashed at times. You know, when you notice Austin Booker the most is when he's chasing a play from the backside.
Because he's fast.
He's very fast, he does make those kind of plays. I don't see him as active or as noticeable at the point of attack.
No, he's not a point of attack guy. He's a spin guy, and he has some big-time moves with that. But he's a finisher because of his speed. The problem is that, scouting term, he's light in the arse.
Yeah.
So he's not a very good.
Well, that's why he dropped to the fifth round.
Exactly. He dropped to the fifth round because he is a pass rush specialist, but that's what his role was in college. He wasn't an everyday starter. He was a specialist, pass rush specialist. So it'd be nice to see him do some stuff. I think he's got a future.
I think so.
I think he's going to be okay.
But the Bears, unfortunately, are in a position to need him more than they should this year.
Right.
And they never wanted to be in that spot.
No, they didn't.
They wanted their defense to be where he is a contributor, a spot player, but Taylor's injury combined with Billings' injury combined with a lot of different things and Sweat's maybe inconsistency.
Well, you know, Billings, to lose your defensive tackle and your safety, that's going to really impact your run defense. The strong safety aids in the running game because he steps up and stops people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they can't still do that, but they can't do it in the way they were doing it. And the defensive tackle obviously was their best run stuffer on their line. He has a different body shape than everyone else. So when Andrew Billings went down, that hurts. So you've had basically an injured Montez Sweat.
Yes.
Billings now out for the year, and you've lost your safety.
Let me ask you a question
about
Billings.
Doesn't mean you can't play defense, but that's going
to... It makes it harder to be a dominant defense.
You're not going to play it as
we came into this season.
I agree.
And one thing we mostly assumed, most of us did, that the Bears had top 10 defense, potentially top 5.
Yes, we talked
about... And we use the word elite a lot. We talk about what they had in terms of talent. Without these guys, they're not elite. And I'm not even sure they're a top 10 defense. Because what happens with Andrew Billings leaves the lineup, it not just affects the plays that he made, but the plays that he allowed others to make.
Yeah.
And when you talk about Tremaine Edmonds maybe being Velcro on some running plays and not being able to get off blocks, it's related to the absence of Andrew Billings in the middle of everything. So his ability to keep blockers off of Tremaine Edmonds is significant. And I think when you watch the Bears, he needs to be more visible. And talk about a guy that can control a game, I'd like to see that, but we don't talk about him as much, even though he makes all the money. But I think we don't talk about him being in a position to dominate the way I think a lot of us would like to see him dominate.
That's a very astute comment, frankly. Is Kenny Clark playing in this game? He's on the injury list, right?
He's on the injury list. I wonder about that because he's the guy that could wreck your game plan in a hurry.
He's that interior force that could... You're absolutely right. Could ruin a game plan.
He's a guy like he reminds you of back in the day, BJ Raji. You know, remember him?
Yes.
He was in the middle of so many Packer defenses. The NFC Championship game comes to mind when we're recounting Bears-Packers matchups of the last 25 years. His name popped up. I'm like, oh, that was you. What was he like? He's like Kenny Clark is now.
And Kenny Clark's one of these guys that like I don't want to be unfair in the way I say it, but he's the kind of guy that will roll on your quarterback.
Yes.
It won't just hit
you. He's got a little nasty.
He'll get like
But you don't mind that in that guy.
675-pound frame.
He's not that big.
And try to crush a man.
He's sort of big. Maybe
he's a big
475. Not 675.
I may have been 675
might
for a
be
fact.
Guinness Book of World Records type of guy.
They have to, what they do is I don't know if you ever watch them play much, but they have to bring a crane in and they just pick him up like you're taking an obese man out of his house and they throw him at the quarterback.
Well, if they bring a crane in on Sunday, Kevin Warren will be very pleased to see the cranes. See the cranes. The cranes are here. We're going to build. No, I think Kenny Clark is a really good example of what you get when you see somebody who has great size, pretty good technique, and a lot of nasty.
Yeah, I just don't want any of those guys falling on the quarterback.
No, you don't want that to happen, or any player. And then you don't want DJ Moore getting an ankle rolled by running a jet sweep and Kenny Clark being late to the pile and falling on everybody.
Yeah, that's what he does.
So stay away from the jet sweep, Thomas Brown.
Well, you can run a jet sweep, just who you're running it with and how you...
Not DJ Moore. No more of that.
Yeah, I'm not arguing
no
that.
More.
Yeah. Listen.
If you were going to do a play like that, how about one of those, we used to call it 30, I think it was 38G load, and the tight end would come across, and then you would throw it to the tight end, and the tight end would get that shovel pass in the A-gap.
You just buried their chances to win the playoff game tonight.
You just gave away York's favorite play.
No, I said we used to run it.
Oh.
We didn't run anything that was any good.
38G
Thanks to
load.
Coach Grau.
38G load. What was your responsibility on a 38G load?
The person lined up in front of me, move him.
Okay. So you had to move the load. How often did you do that consistently?
He just blamed his coach that he couldn't do it.
Coach Killer over here.
Well,
Coach Killer Dustin Rhodes.
It was a particularly decent play against the three.
Fighter 2, Y Banana.
Yes. So he got a new job, right?
Yeah.
John Gruden. It's not coach.
Biggsy was right.
It's not calling plays for the
Bigsy,
Bears.
Biggsy heard a rumor that Gruden was getting a new job.
Yeah, he did.
It was just a Bleacher Report.
Barstool.
Barstool, I'm sorry.
Close enough.
Whichever.
One of those places.
I apologize.
Careful, Jesus. Careful. Yeah.
I don't want to start a thing with Barstool.
Careful.
I love those guys.
John Gruden, great man.
I love Chicago Billy and all the crew. Big Cat. All those guys.
All those guys. Great. Yeah. Yes.
Tremendous. He's got some good coffee, I heard.
Don't drag me into it.
They do.
Fella Blue.
They do. That's tremendous coffee.
I love Pat Hughes. What's the guy? Portnoy. That guy went to Vito and Nick's on his pizza tour. Anybody that's doing that kind of homework, my favorite pizza place.
He's going to finance Michigan's next quarterback.
Yeah. God bless him. Did you see that? Michigan?
Yes.
Michigan is buying back a quarterback for like $20 million or something. Was it $10.1 million? They're going to pay to this kid that left Michigan and went to LSU, and now they're trying to buy him back.
Yep.
NIL. That stuff used to be done under the table.
I know.
I don't know that I like hearing about it. Can't you please do that in the back room like you used to?
I don't have a problem with the corruption, but just don't make it so overt.
It just feels
right. It was
wrong.
Much more fun, right? Yeah. I mean, it was kind of, you know, secret alley, suitcases full of money.
This
Mom got a new Lexus. You know, Dad got a new job. Those
new
kind
tractor.
Of things.
New tractor.
Yeah.
Grody time is next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Knowing how competitive you are caring about the defense and the offense, was a change needed on the offense?
What does that got to do with my competitiveness?
Just because you want to win, so you're looking at all different parts of the team, that you're invested in the offense, you're invested in the defense, because it matters.
I mean, I want to win. So, I mean, quite frankly, I didn't give a damn who's the coach or the OC. I mean, if we win the games, we win the games.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. You can't play gotcha with a soon-to-be Pro Bowl cornerback.
That was a fair question.
David's favorite player.
That was a fair Jaylen question. Johnson. I like Jalen Johnson. He does a tremendous job. Mark Grody asked a good question. Jalen Johnson went that way with the answer.
You like Johnson. Reasons. I'm going with Grody.
I'm going with Grody. I'm Team Grody all the way.
Grody time.
Here's the word I use, because I talked about this with some of the other reporters that were involved in that. Like, I wasn't mad. I was like, that was unnecessary.
It was.
That was unnecessary. Like, I think, and I was talking about this with Weederer. I mean, Jalen Johnson just, especially with the core reporters that are there every day, and I would be one of those, he does like to challenge us. And usually he's on point. That one I thought was unnecessary. I'm calling you You know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mark Grody joins us on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. And Mark, I guess as I look at this game, David and I, we're depressing each other this morning because we can't come up with the winning game plan. We've spent some time. We knew there was going to be a change. We knew they needed our input. And yet we can't come up with the way in which the Bears win.
Well, boy, I hate that I'm coming to the show with this, but I have not figured it out either. How about this? How about in a fantasy? Thomas Brown is the offensive coordinator that Caleb Williams has always needed, and he unleashes him, and he's going deep on every play. No, I have already picked the Green Bay Packers to win this game. And honestly, you know what's scaring me the most about this game? Honestly, it's Josh Jacobs. It's Josh Jacobs that's scaring me the most, because there's just been too many. As much as we're focused on the offense, the Bears offense, it is, and it's justified, and I get it. I understand it. Some of the most jarring things that have happened to the Bears this year have been on explosive runs by opposing offenses, right?
You could not be more correct, Grody. He has 762 yards, and as I mentioned last segment, the Packers have 1,393 through nine games, the most they've had through nine games since 2003. So the Bears have to stop the run. Forget about the other drama. Forget about the trash talking. Forget about everything else. If the Bears don't stop the run, this is going to be a blowout.
Yeah. I mean, and you look at the Green Bay's offense in general, top 10 in points, top 10 in total yards, top 10 in passing yards, top 5 in rushing yards. Time of possession, they're good. So there's just a lot of areas excuse me, that the Bears defense needs to be concerned with. And, you know, the Green Bay defense is to be reckoned with as well. I mean, if you want to flip it, Bears offense against their defense, I mean, they've got a lot of guys that have been around for a while that we're very familiar with, like Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark and Xavier McKinney, who's having an outstanding season. You mentioned the trash talk, but he has six sacks this year as well. Quay Walker, their weak side linebacker, really good. So that is the Green Bay Packers, unfortunately, are just a very complete team, and as the Bears go through this change and all of this, you know, looking in the mirror, this is not the ideal, or maybe it is. Maybe the Packers are the ideal opponent, because if they do win this game, the party's probably back on in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, I know how it works around here. The
Look
Bears
at the
are
schedule.
I know,
that'll affect your party plans.
Well, no, I understand. Don't ruin my party. Don't ruin my party. Because the thing, if they win this game, that does a lot in terms of nobody's picking the Bears to win this game. I don't know. Maybe one of you guys have picked the Bears to win this game, but nobody's picking the Bears.
Thanks
to win
for
this
listening.
Game.
We did.
They've
not.
Lost. Oh, okay. Okay. See.
Thanks, Mark.
See. I know. Hey, I guess what. I listened to the Pick Six before I came on the radio here today, so don't take me there.
You're the one.
They've lost 10 in a row against the Packers. The last time the Bears beat the Packers, I was on the sideline interviewing Tariq Cohen because the Bears won the division in 2018 at the end of that year. And then there's been a slow slide of the Bears since. I mean, that was the beginning of the end of the Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy era, when it just kind of declined a little bit. Obviously, you have the double doink, and then everything just spins out of control, and now here we are today. But a win would go a long way. And, you know, if they do beat the Packers because of how good this team is, then you start to look at that rough schedule and you say, maybe the Bears can be competitive, or maybe they can win some of those. So that's my positive spin, even though I have picked the Packers to win the game on Sunday.
This segment with Mark Grody is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. Mark, that's an interesting point that you make. That, you know, listen, we know the league. You win three in a row, and then you lose three in a row. And if they somehow get this game, maybe they can win three in a row and three unlikely wins in a row. But I just think that the more I go over it and the more I go back to it, they have done a terrible job in the division. They've done a worse job with Green Bay than any team in the division. You feel like they could split with Minnesota, maybe. I'm talking about going into the year. You feel like they could maybe win one, or at least be competitive in one of the two against Detroit. But you're befuddled at how they're going to beat Green Bay. The Packers have had their number since the Flower got there.
The Flower, yes.
Matt LaFleur,
who, by the way, Jalen Johnson, very complimentary of the Flower yesterday, and has been in the past. He seems to really like the cut of his jib and the way he does business. This would all be fine. I mean, we knew this, Molly, coming into this season, how good this, well, maybe not necessarily Minnesota, but we knew the division was going to be jam-packed this year. What we didn't know was that the Bears were not going to hold up their end of the bargain when they got to this point. I mean, a lot of us, you know, being asked questions at the beginning of the year, can the Bears, who's the best quarterback in the division? And I thought Caleb Williams was in the picture for sure for potentially being that guy, and that the Bears would be in a competitive place at this point. I didn't think it was going to be easy. And even when things were going well for the Bears, I still said that Detroit is better, Green Bay is better, Minnesota might be better. But again, coming back to my point, we did not know that the Bears were going to hit this road bump that they've hit. Now, the last time they struggled so mightily this year was after that Indianapolis game. They did win three straight games. Those, of course, were lesser opponents, and it's fair to, you know, point that out. Rams, Jacksonville, and Carolina is a pretty easy row of teams. What they have coming up, Minnesota, at Detroit, at San Francisco, ain't so easy. So I don't know that you could just look at it and say, oh, it could be a similar situation.
This segment with Mark Grody is brought to you by your local Ford dealers. Shop now at buyfordnow.com. It's been a loud week, Mark. What has been the thing that has echoed the loudest in your head? Somebody said something, somebody did something. What will you remember most about this week?
I think the very precise debunking of, or I don't know if debunking is the right word, when Cole Kmet came out and said he heard, basically volunteered to, well, not volunteered, but we kind of set him up for it, but he knew what we were talking about when we were asking about full support of Caleb Williams in the locker room, and the report that had gotten out that there were a couple players who were asking for maybe Tyson Bagent to be the quarterback, and you sit Caleb Williams down, and basically Cole Kmet said, you know, that's just preposterous. He did say, hey, when things are going poorly, lots of things get sprayed out there, but I think that the underlying questions about Caleb Williams, while I don't know if it's fair or unfair, to me, even with the firing of the offensive coordinator and the hiring of Thomas Brown, that's been the most interesting stuff, or maybe disturbing stuff, just because of who I think Caleb Williams is and what I think he's going to be, and that is great on all accounts, but clearly there's a little bit of, you know, wonderment in terms of where Caleb Williams is, where he is going, because quite frankly, he has struggled pretty badly in the last 3 weeks. So that's the biggest thing that I think that I've taken away from all of this, even with everything going on. It still comes back to Caleb Williams.
Well, it does, and I think that it is preposterous because they couldn't do something like that. You can't bench the guy. You can't. You know, what you got to do, and I hope it starts this week, is maybe take some of the decision-making off the plate. Maybe don't have him getting to call his plays at the line of scrimmage, or, you know, have him run some plays. Figure out how to run the football. Figure out how to do some things without relying on the quarterback to read everything. And I wonder, can you think of what they do best on offense? If I asked you, what is the signature element of this team? What do they do best, and what can they do and repeat and wash and do again?
Yeah, no, there's nothing repeatable, Molly. I mean, it comes in spurts. I mean, sometimes, you know, I thought maybe after the Jacksonville game that, no, okay, the downfield passing game is there and it's really occurring. At times, DeAndre Swift looks good and the running game looks good. But no, I'm not going to sit here and just go through all this stuff. No, you're right, Molly. There is not a consistent, established identity on this team as
of yet.
How can
you get to that point in an NFL season?
It's crazy. How many games in? You are midway through
your
season. And nine games in, and your signature is invisible ink.
Well, and I guess we'll find out how bad of...
You can't... you're right. You can't name one thing.
No, I can't. And I was going to just give like a bogus hand, but I'm not going to.
You go bogus.
Go bogus. Go rogue, Grody. Go rogue.
Ramble on. I don't know. Throwing to Roma Dunze. He's had a couple hundred-yard games.
Oh, keep rambling.
Maybe that's their ramble on. Maybe that's their identity. But I just really quickly, too, in terms of, I thought about that. Like, could Caleb Williams benefit from just a game off where they say, okay, you're going to take a game off, and then the next game you're going to play? And then I thought, wait a minute, that's ridiculous. That would cause like just so much noise from all of us, from everybody in the locker room, especially if Bajan was to have a good game. That would, no matter what, would do more harm than good at this point to bench your quarterback. And as far as simplifying too, Mully, you were talking about the stuff at the line. I'm also conflicted on that at this point.
Yeah.
You are 4-5. It's going to be a rugged road to the playoffs. Do we really want to start taking development plates off of his table at this point? Because, you know, no matter what, some of these pains that he's going through may be hugely beneficial when he arrives at training camp next year. And I hate that I just said next year, but the Bears are 4-5
in a
rugged
too,
division.
I believe
you know?
In that.
I mean,
I believe
so
what you said is true.
Right. Right. So make him into a pro quarterback, which the Bears have been doing, even if it looks ugly at this point. And hopefully Thomas Brown can reveal some better things about this offense.
Mark, we'll let you go just on the way out and quickly. Who do you think they'll fire next week and which player gets cut?
Let's see. If the Bears lose, if they get trounced this week, they don't have a touchdown drive. Bye-bye, Thomas Brown. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Wow.
Appreciate it.
I can't wait to see what Jalen Johnson has to say about that.
Oh, man. But, sir, you're so competitive. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
What did you call me? I called you competitive.
Oh, you're a handsome Mark. Man. Yes,
you're a great man.
Stuff.
Bless you, sir.
Thanks, Mark.
Bless you too. Bye.
See you
guys.
Sunday.
That's Mark Rohde. Always fun to talk to him, even under these circumstances.
Last time Bears beat the Packers, he referenced it. You know who scored the first touchdown for the Bears? Jordan Howard.
Wow. Okay. Now you got
December 16, 2018.
Well, I mean, and he mentioned Tariq Cohen. That's who he talked to after the game.
He scored the second touchdown.
Who's had a better career since that game? Wow. The Bears or Tariq?
Grody.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 the score.
What does that got to do with my competitiveness?
Well, you kind of watch the tape. You know, not all rookies are the same, right? You can say you're just going to go be aggressive and blitz a rookie the whole game, and sometimes that doesn't work. You watch the tape, you see what he's been good against, you see what they've had success with, and then you get a feel for it when you go in the game. I can't give you away my secrets for how we're going to attack him this week, but it's an internal battle sometimes. There's a lot of internal battles, and sometimes you just got to keep your cool and see how it unfolds. But we'll have a good plan for him, and we'll adjust accordingly to how everything unfolds.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That's Jeff Hafley. He is the defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers, and he's talking about what you do against a rookie quarterback, what
yes.
you do against a guy like Caleb Williams. I think we all know what teams have done.
Yes.
And I think I know what they're going to do.
Pressure.
They pressure 25% of the time.
Pressure.
I would imagine it'd be closer to 45.
I think they will. That's why it's important to get rid of the ball quickly. That's why we heard from Kerry Joseph and Thomas Brown, the rhythm passing, the timing routes, the things that are you run basically pick plays to get guys open, scheme guys open, 7 yards at a time. You don't have to think big every single down. You don't have to hit the home run. You know what Caleb Williams needs to think? Manufacturing runs. Play a little bit of small ball and hit the down and out, hit the quick slant, hit the tight end. Do the things that move the chains. Do the things that combat that pressure with a smart, intelligent passing game.
Walk, steal second, long fly ball.
Get hit by a pitch.
Get you, there you go.
Steal a base.
Yeah.
Small ball. You know, Jeff Hafley is fascinating to me.
Okay.
Can I tell you why? Because I know it sounds like this is the Packer admiration hour.
Oh, my gosh.
But I have to say this. Jeff Hafley was a head coach at a Power 5 program, Boston College.
Yes.
With a proud football tradition.
Yep.
You know? Doug Flutie, Tom Waddle.
I didn't know he coached Flutie.
Tom Coughlin, David Gordon. Dustin knows what that name means. The guy that kicked the field goal that beat Notre Dame. Boston College. He left Boston College as a head coach for the Green Bay Packers to be the defensive coordinator. Says a lot about the state of college football, but it also says, like, wow, this guy's a pretty accomplished football guy. So this is why I think part of the reason the Packers are as good defensively as they are. He is a very good coordinator, pushing the right buttons.
Yeah, I think I wish things were more complicated. I wish when you came to play the Bears, you were kind of like, well, we could blitz, but oh no.
Can't do that because he's going to beat us. Can't do that because they're going to pop a screen pass to a guy because they run screen passes so well. Can't do that because DeAndre Swift is going to be, no. Because as you just said and pointed out correctly in the previous segment, the Bears have no identity. They are faceless and nameless as an offense 9 games into this season.
And I'm not against DeAndre Swift, I think he's had a pretty good year, all things considered. He's just like, you know, I can't help but feel, and I'm talking about after watching the Giants lose Saquon Barkley, and they were afraid that the Bears were the team and the Bears were interested. And then watching Barkley again last night, you know, you watch that game where all of a sudden, you know, here's Washington. They're going to go for it on fourth and two. And guess what? They don't get it. And what happens then? Barkley takes over the game. They stop him on the fourth down try, and then they have Barkley. And I think to myself, like, even if you're going into this game and you're thinking Barkley's going to jump over guys backwards.
Oh, I know. That guy.
Like, there's nothing really there that I say the Bears are going to be able to do this. The Bears are going to be able to do
that. You don't have Barkley. Why you got to rub it in? It's not like any of us were clamoring for him during free agency.
Well, maybe we were. Come to think of it.
He's got 1,000 yards. I know that doesn't mean what it used to, but look at the schedule. That was our 10th game. He's got 1,000 yards. This guy is as dynamic as any running back in the NFL and having a great year.
All right, we're going to bring in Wayne Larrivee. We're going to bring in the former voice of the Bears, now the voice of the Packers. How long has he been with Green Bay? 20 years, maybe? So we'll talk to Wayne. We'll get his take on how they're improving. I'm very curious as to what they did a year ago. You tried to lay that out as a plan for the Bears to have Caleb Williams become Jordan Love. That'd be great if that could happen.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Wayne about what he's seeing and what he's expecting, and it's going to be a difficult game for the Bears on Sunday. I think we all realize that, and we will be right back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.